Welcome to Renew Devotionals. I'm Grace Thweet, the author of this devotional series, Cover to Cover. In this series, we're exploring the unified story of Scripture as we work our way through every book of the Bible. This is part three, where we're covering the Old Testament poetic books. These books were written by Israelites throughout the history period chronicled in the biblical books prior. They are full of poetry, proverbs, prayers, and song lyrics, and they provide a unique lens to know God and His wisdom. In this time with God and His Word today, we're studying the book of Job. Before beginning, would you just take a few moments to center your heart? Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 21.
Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Have you ever heard anyone claim that the times they've grown most in life were in seasons of ease and comfort? Probably not. For most of us, we learn our biggest lessons in life through hard circumstances. And for Christians, it's often the darkest days that make God's love and presence more real. Now, this sounds nice in theory, but when we're actually in the trenches suffering, we normally don't just glide through upheld by this perspective. The path through suffering normally isn't a straight line. Our growth through hard times tends to look more like a series of scribbles. We're moving forward, then moving back. Finding peace, then questioning God. Resting in His love, then feeling angry at Him. When we're suffering or someone we care about is suffering, one of the natural questions that often comes up in this process of growth is, why would a good God allow bad things to happen? The book of Job explores this question. It begins with a scene in heaven, and we watch as God points out a man named Job to Satan. Job is described to be a servant of God, and God commends Job's righteousness. Satan, however, accuses Job. He claims Job only loves God because his life is easy. So, in response, God permits Satan to inflict suffering in Job's life that will test his faith and character. Now, listen to the crazy series of blows that then hits Job's life. First, all of Job's livestock, his livelihood, die. Then his servants are killed. Then, horrifically, his children are killed. And finally, Job's own health goes. He gets painful sores all over his body. Job at first responds by worshiping God. He says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But as the suffering continues, Job begins to question God. Job feels that a world in which innocent people like him suffer is proof of an unfair God. Three friends come to be with Job in his suffering, and they counter his argument. They claim that Job must have done something bad to deserve his suffering. In other words, God wouldn't send suffering upon an innocent person, so Job must not be innocent. But there's a problem with both of these views. Both Job and his friends are believing people's actions control God. And the reality is, God's love operates apart from merit. He is not a God of karma, dishing out suffering when people are bad and preventing suffering when they're good. Job is innocent. He did nothing to bring on his suffering. But this does not, as Job claims, make God unjust. God is not punishing Job. Rather, out of love, God is using Job's suffering to refine his faith. Job carries us through speech upon speech of Job's friends, wrongly diagnosing his suffering. It's quite exhausting to listen to, and it also lets us in on Job's responses and thoughts, many of which are accusations and frustrations directed at God. Job has been calling out to God to engage with him, and finally, at the end of the book, God himself confronts Job. God's response is really interesting because he never directly addresses Job's accusations. Instead, God questions Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and made the dawn know its place? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, or do you establish their rule over the earth?" God goes on in this manner, question after question, pointing out all the things outside Job's control and beyond Job's comprehension. In doing this, God is suggesting that maybe the reason for Job's suffering is beyond his comprehension as well. So Job never gets his question answered about why God allowed him to suffer. But after seeing the sovereign power and superior wisdom of his creator over his creation, Job's perspective is reframed, and he repents and trusts God again. Job's story reveals that we do not serve a score-keeping God who operates within our degree of comprehension. Instead of trying to figure out the reason for our suffering, we can instead fix our eyes on God and his power and wisdom, trusting that everything he does is out of love for us. This doesn't make our suffering any less painful, but it does bring perspective and peace. Maybe you believe that God is powerful and in control, but you struggle trusting there is love behind his control. Maybe you look at the fractured pieces of your life caused by the way people have treated you or by a horrific event in your life, and you think that this brokenness disproves the love of Christ. I love what pastor and author Dane Ortlund has to say on this topic. He says, "If you are having thoughts like that as you hear of Christ's love, I want you to know that you're looking at the wrong life. Your life doesn't disprove Christ's love. His life proves it. Seeing the way Christ suffered for us is what helps us to trust in his love." The Bible shows us that God did not stand aloof and apathetic to our suffering, but entered into our pain himself. Jesus came to earth as a man and then demonstrated his love for us in sacrificing his life. This was the greatest act of undeserved suffering. Christ lived a perfect life, yet he endured humiliating torture, a brutal crucifixion, and worst of all, separation from his Father, in order that suffering, sin, and death would not have the final word for his creation. Ortlund said it this way, "Your suffering does not define you. His does. You have endured pain involuntarily. He endured pain voluntarily for you. Your pain is meant to push you to flee to him, where he endured what you deserved. If Jesus himself was willing to journey down into the suffering of hell, you can bank everything on his love as you journey through your own suffering on your way up to heaven. When hard things happen to you, like Job, do you question if you can trust God? Take a moment to bring any of these feelings or doubts you might have to God." In times where life is hard and God feels absent, you can remind your heart that God is not punishing you and he is not indifferent to you. In your suffering, he is teaching you to learn to trust him more. He is drawing you near to himself, giving you more of himself, the most satisfying thing you could have. Remember that God's ways are above your ways. and you can't always understand his plan. But you can trust that God is good. As you suffer, remember how Christ suffered for you. God's grip on you is strong and secure. All you have to do is go to him, and he will embrace you in his deepest being and never let you go. As you listen to the worship song, meditate on the reality that even when you don't understand, you can trust God in times of suffering. His love is a trustworthy foundation.
I am hurting. Why is this happening to me? I am hurting. Can you hear me? Will you hide yourself from me? I am hurting. Help me to believe.